Now in the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel today, we meet Lazarus, but we meet him after he's already 6 feet under the ground. Or I guess in first century Palestine, he wouldn't be there, but behind a big rock. And it's an unbelievable story, if you think about it, right? But if we've been following the story from the beginning, we should have expected Lazarus to come out of the grave. In John's gospel, Jesus begins by giving new life to some water at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. But he didn't stop there. It's a small but a first step. As we read on, the signs of new life continue. The healing of the official's son in chapter 4, the healing of the paralyzed man in chapter 5, and the feeding of the 5,000 in chapter 6. You see, each new sign in the gospel raised the stakes. Until we get to chapter 9, mentioned in our gospel today, where Jesus gives sight, new life, if you will, to the eyes of a man born blind. After that, the next step had to be Lazarus. I mean, what else could we have expected? What else could have been done except Lazarus, come on out? Is it crazy for us to believe such things? I mean, it's a crazy story, isn't it? But who's to say what's crazy and what's sane with respect to the resurrection of the dead? It all depends on our assumptions, doesn't it? If we assume the world is sane, then Jesus, in the words of my dearly departed grandmother, is crazier than a June bug. Because of the difference between the world and Jesus. The world says, mind your own business. Jesus says, love one another. The world says, follow your heart and succeed. Jesus says, follow me and be crucified. The world says, drive carefully, the life you save may be your own. Jesus says, whoever would save their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. The world says, law and order. Jesus says, love your enemies. The world says, get. Jesus says, give. In terms of the world's definition of sanity, Jesus is crazy. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I, as followers of Jesus, should hate the world. No. After all, earlier in John's gospel, that famous passage that we all learned in Sunday school says that God so loved the world. God's a world lover. And that Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world. But it does mean that we need to name things for what they truly are. The world is a beautiful place. It is, after all, God's creation. I mean, we have a Chamber of Commerce Day right out the doors here on this Sunday. It's beautiful out there. It's a lovely world. But for all its beauty, the world is not currently congruent with God's purposes. I mean, heaven help us if we think the world as it is now is what God is intending for the world. In fact, the world is in open rebellion against the will of God. God decrees love, and the worldly practice hate. God commands we forgive, yet the worldly seek vengeance. God shows compassion to the stranger, the alien, and the immigrant, yet the worldly hatefully turn them away. God loves the poor. The worldly blame the poor for being poor. You see, in terms of how the world is currently ordered, Jesus is crazy. But let's stay with me here. Let's assume for a second the opposite is true. Let's assume the world is crazy and Jesus is the one who is sane. That changes everything, doesn't it? But that places you and me in a dilemma. It's a profound dilemma. You see, we can't follow Jesus faithfully as his disciples, saying the truth is somewhere in between. That the world is mainly sane but a little bit crazy, and Jesus is mainly sane a little bit crazy. It's kind of somewhere in between. We can't have it both ways. Now, it might be easier to have it both ways if all we're talking about is changing a little water into wine. That's a nice little parlor trick that can be done, right? It becomes harder when we're talking about feeding the 5,000 or giving new life to the eyes of a man born blind. And it becomes impossible to have it both ways. We talk about raising the dead. There's no possibility for us to choose both. Because Jesus is either crazy or he is the Lord of life. He either raises people from the dead or he doesn't. You know, Jesus never met a corpse he didn't like. He never met a corpse he didn't raise. You think, go through the gospel, read the gospel. Every time Jesus shows up and there's a corpse there, that corpse does not stay a corpse for very long. Whether it's the widow's son in Luke 7 or Jairus' daughter in Mark 5, it's the same as today's gospel. It's Lazarus, get your stinky old self out of that grave. Unbind him and let him go. Now why? Why does every time Jesus meet a corpse, that corpse doesn't stay a corpse for very long? It's because it is the revealed word of God that we are to have new life. It is God's will for us. Now, at the same time, we shouldn't think it comes easy. We shouldn't think that it doesn't happen without cost. Because the cross looms large. Our new life comes at the expense of the cross. If we get back into our story today from the gospel, we need to know the context there. Jesus, you know, wasn't just strolling through the suburbs of Jerusalem when he heard about his friend Lazarus being near death. No, he was out in the countryside. Why was he in the countryside? Well, we know from the story in chapter 9 and 10 that they were out to kill him. And people said, get out of here, Jesus. They're going to kill you. Go out to the countryside. So Jesus was out in the countryside avoiding death when he heard word that Lazarus was sick and about to die. So stay with me here. Jesus then had to go from the safety of the countryside into enemy territory where he knew he would be arrested and killed in order to save his friend Lazarus. And he raised him from the dead. Think about it. That's exactly what Jesus does for you and me. He comes in the enemy territory of our sin, doesn't he? He comes right in the middle of that enemy territory of our sin, whether we're 6 feet under the ground or sitting here listening to a sermon. He comes in the enemy territory of our sin and raises us up. And I'm just crazy enough to believe that. I'm crazy enough to believe that God loves a sinner like me that much. That God would venture into the garbage dump of my life, stand knee-deep in all that stuff, and say, Scott, come on out now. Come on out. Come on out. And raise me up. What about you? Has Jesus met you where you really are? And as you really are? Not as you pose to be for the rest of the world, but as you really, really are. Has Jesus met you there? Has he ventured into the personal garbage dump of your life? and said, come on out. I love you. Are you crazy enough to believe that he raises us from the dead? That he's the Lord of life? Now, before you answer that question, I've got one more thing for you. I want you to know that we can die before we die. We can die before we die. We can be like the Walking Dead on that TV show. It's on Netflix, right? That's what I heard. It can be just like the Walking Dead. When we give in to fear that the world propagates, we become the Walking Dead. When we choose to hate, we become the Walking Dead. When we want to protect only what's ours, we become the Walking Dead. When we deny the full humanity of any other person in God's creation, we become the Walking Dead. And the Walking Dead are still among us. A week ago Saturday, a member of the Walking Dead murdered 11 souls in Pittsburgh. A few days before that, a member of the Walking Dead murdered 2 souls outside of a Kroger store in Kentucky. Before that, there were 9 souls murdered by the Walking Dead in Charleston. And unfortunately, the Walking Dead are still among us because that list goes on and on and on. We should be under no illusion that that's ancient history. We're still living that history today. Now back to my question. Are you crazy enough to believe that Jesus is the Lord of life? Are you crazy enough to believe that he raises us from the dead? If you are, and if I am, then the Walking Dead have no power over us whatsoever. They have no power over us. We will not fear them. We will enter the enemy territory that they have provided without fear because we're liberated to oppose them with the amazing grace of Jesus. The last words Jesus says in today's gospel are, unbind him and let him go. By the amazing grace of Jesus, God has unbound each one of us. And God has let us go into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit to oppose the Walking Dead with every ounce of strength we have. Because we trust that Jesus, no matter what, will raise us up. Maybe Jesus will even raise the Walking Dead. That's above my pay grade. I don't know. It's above my pay grade. But I'm crazy enough to believe that Jesus is the Lord of life, that Jesus will raise me up, that Jesus will raise you up on the last day. Amen.